And your Father who seeth in secret will reward you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Reverend Fathers, dear faithful, all this week and this year, really, all this Lent, we are honoring the holy face of our Lord. And we're looking at his face right under that remarkable photograph of the face of St. Teresa, our Lenten patroness this year. We're looking at his holy face, and we're seeing it all disfigured and dark, pretty well nigh destroyed, veiled and humbled and plucked and beaten and all bloody. We're honoring our Lord's face, but we have to imitate him, not so much with the face, but with the heart. Our Lord tells us in today's gospel not to, well, the Latin says, and the Latin always strikes me, the Latin says, don't exterminate your face. The English translation means is disfigure, don't disfigure your face. But the curious thing, the first thing that could strike you if you follow the Ash Wednesday Mass is that we do, as a matter of fact, don't we? And it is a good thing we receive the sacramental of the blessed ashes. Where? Well, you, the laity, receive them in all humility right on your forehead, and we, the clergy, receive them where the tonsure, the hair, was cut when we became clerics, in the back of the head. It's where sometimes a man, if God is going to humble him, starts to grow bald. And I notice Father Ikar, you can see the ashes on him because he doesn't have too much hair back there anymore. And so there's a little black ashes that a priest or a seminarian would wear there. But for everybody, it's a common act of humility. How did that get started? Well, it's really a very sort of a little flower thing, if you think of it. In the old days, remember, if you committed one mortal sin, you were out. No Mass of the Faithful, no Holy Communion. You had to do public penance. And then over the centuries, the public penance got to be done during the 40 days of Lent. And anyone who had, say, stolen something that was worth something, or anyone that had stopped going to Sunday Mass, missed their Mass, or committed adultery, or any serious breaking of God's laws, why, he was out for 40 days, and it started with Lent, and sinners would come, public sinners, they would come, and they would get their ashes from the bishop, and then they would have to stand outside during Mass all during Lent. But one day, somebody, in a sort of a little flower spirit, thought, well, you know, I'm a sinner too. And this year there aren't too many public sinners, they must feel very terrible. I'll go stand with them so they won't feel so bad. And that's how it got started. And pretty soon, everybody went to stand with them so they wouldn't feel so bad. Out of charity, really, and out of humility. Well, I'm a sinner too. They joined the crowd, and that way the sinners themselves wouldn't stand out. It's a little bit like the little flowers take on penance. She didn't add anything every Lent when the time came for penance. The Carmelite sisters lived pretty much of a very strict life. You know, they would they would pray for hours, and there was no heat in the convent, and there was a lot of fasting too, that sort of thing. Once she did wear a sharp cross around her neck. That's in our Lenten meditation for today. She wore a sharp cross around her neck, and I think one of the points pricked her flesh, and then she got infected. And it was a big to-do at the convent. Her sister had an infection here. So then she realized it wasn't God's will for her to offer up those special kinds of penances. What she did simply was to follow the rule and look out for occasions to prove her love for God. She was on the lookout. It was a bit like my cats this morning. For a while, everybody thought it was spring, and the birds did too, and they were chirping, and the cats realized it was time to do their duty of protecting us against birds. And so they went outside, and then they were on guard duty, watching all of the birds. Well, that's how the little flower was. She was on guard duty, watching for an opportunity. I read about a seminarian recently, before the changes. Unfortunately, since then, he's become a Novus Ordo priest. But when he was a seminarian in the old days, he loved the little flower very much. And he tried to imitate her life and to do every kind of penance he possibly could. And he never ate dessert, and he never ate candy, and he didn't drink coffee or tea, and he didn't even eat meat or fish or smoke or have beer, anything like that. No, nothing at all. He said pretty much he subsisted on cucumber sandwiches when he was a seminarian. But when Lent came around, he thought, now what will I offer up? And this he thought, there's nothing left on the list. I've already given everything up. That wouldn't be our case, would it? You probably wouldn't have to think too long about something you could offer up. But then he did his spiritual reading for Lent. By the way, did anyone remember reading for Lent a book? I hope you don't forget. He decided to reread the book written by the little flower called The Story of a Soul. He reread it. If there's a book that you liked, you might want to get the same book and read it over again. But I do want you all, big ones and little ones, to read a book this Lent. One book a year wouldn't kill you. And it might even help your spiritual life to grow. Well, as he was rereading the book that St. Teresa wrote about her life, he realized, you know, it's not what we offer up. It's the way we do things for God. And what way are we going to try to follow this year? It's going to be the little way of the little flower. You see, the problem with the old way or the big way of offering things up is this. Well, sure, it hurts. It's a test of your willpower and your won't power, as we like to say. And sometimes we fall and we feel really bad about not having kept our Lenten promises. But it doesn't necessarily mean that we are correcting our faults. For example, you could give up coffee, or you could give up candy. You could give up drinks or smokes. Well, not you little ones, of course. Presumably, you're not onto all of those things. But regardless of what you give up, it could end up making you a little bit crabby today, a little bit snappy, or maybe in a bad mood with others. And that's no good, is it? The very idea of giving up is to be kind to everyone, regardless of how we feel. The danger, too, of putting a lot of emphasis upon what we give up is this, that it could end up feeding our appetite for pride or vanity and self-love. And we could end up like a Pharisee. We could end up thinking, judging our neighbor and thinking, well, he's not giving anything up, or she's not saying her prayers. I don't see her doing anything extra. And that would be a bad thing. When St. Teresa was a girl, it was the custom for them to have, and they would carry it in their pockets. It was like a little chaplet, but they were called sacrifice beads. And every time you made a sacrifice, all day long, you would move the bead to the other side. Well, she did that, and then her sisters or her mother would see her putting her hand in her pocket all day long to move the bead because she was offering up a sacrifice. But later on, when she became a sister, she gave up counting. She said, no, I'm not going to count them anymore, my sacrifices. I'm just going to give them away without even having the joy of knowing how much the bank is paying out. And sometimes it cost her these little sacrifices quite a bit. But she was always careful not to make the others suffer. So this Lent, while of course we're going to be offering up our sacrifices because we need to for all sorts of reasons, and besides, we're all doing it together, aren't we? All of we Catholics and the whole church. And so it's a way of being humble, and it's a way of making spiritual progress. Still, let's try to remember that it's the way, it's the little way we do things that counts. When St. Teresa was on her deathbed, the prioress asked her, "So what is this little way that you've been talking about?" Well, she said, "Mother, it's the way of teaching others, and it's so completely successful, of teaching others that the only thing to do on earth is to offer our Lord the flowers of little sacrifices." But remember, little does not mean cheap, insignificant, or worthless, any more than a little child could be described in those terms. No, no. The little things that we do in secret, that's our secret, children. That's our secret to loving our Lord very much this Lent. And it costs us, but no one need know about it. We're not going to grimace, talk about it later, sigh, roll our eyes, or complain. We're just going to be kind. And we're going to start doing favors for other people. And we won't defend ourselves if we are accused. I was struck to read this morning that just like at St. Gertrude, at the convent, people would break things and then no one would own up to it. And so every now and again in the sacristy, much to my distress, and I'm very un-little flower-like in this, I'm sure, I'll see something broken, and someone has put it away as though it were just fine, but actually it's broken. Well, that happened once when St. Teresa was a novice. There was a vase that was left on a shelf on a windowsill, and actually it was broken. And then the Sister Superior thought it was Teresa who did it because she was the youngest in the convent. And she said, "It cost me so much to keep my mouth shut, not to defend myself, not to say a word, especially when Sister said, 'You young people, you really have to learn how to be tidy.'" And of course, she didn't do it at all, but she didn't say a word. That's what I mean, children. Those are the kinds of little sacrifices that you could make. And if you start making them, you would make church and school and your home a kind of a heaven this Lent. Already from the age of 14, she made her promise that she would love our Lord so passionately as to give him 1,000 tokens of love while I live. And that's what she gave. That's what she offered up. Whether it be being obedient right away to the sister who was in charge, or whether it be not defending herself when she was accused, or putting up with the little mannerisms of others and never complaining about them or being mean. She was able to transform all of her actions, even the most insignificant ones, into a little act of love. Now this is the little way. And this, let us pray, will be our way. The way we're setting out on today, this Ash Wednesday. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.